Just in case it's not clear in the lesson, which I think it will be, but I'm not even sure why I'm saying this, but I think it's because when I first went through the lesson, I thought, how's that on consistency? Then I figured it out fairly quickly. But we're going to see Peter, and he goes to a certain group of people and ministers to them. But when the other group, the opposite group, shows up, he kind of turned his back and went the other direction. And I think that's, he didn't stay consistent in what he was doing for the Lord there. So we'll see that in the story. But that's why it's on consistency. But let's start here in Acts chapter 10. I guess I better turn there. We need to see three different passages. So I'm going to read kind of fast, but you follow along. But keep in mind that we're looking at Peter, so all that it has to say about Peter, be especially tuned into that, because those are the things we're going to be pointing out throughout the lesson. So Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon a housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Arise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again to heaven. Now when Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. On the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanying him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I am also am a man. And as he talked with him and went in and found many that were together, and he said unto them, Ye know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean, hence the vision. And I will say that later, but the vision was teaching him that, hey, the gospel is about to go to all people, not just the Jews. Verse 29, Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore what intent you should have sent me for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hang on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Okay, we can stop there, actually. So you can see what's happening here. He's giving this word to Cornelius about the Lord God wanting to reach all people. Now, let's go to chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So there you go, the Gentiles receiving the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, that's the Jews, watch, contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in unto men uncircumcised and didst eat with them? But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa. He gives the story about the trance there, the trance he was in, the vision he saw. And verse 11, And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was sent, and from Caesarea unto men. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. And verse 18 now, please. And when they had heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Okay? Now, one more passage, Galatians chapter 2, and then we'll be finished with all the reading. Galatians chapter 2. So all those verses we just read, that was quite a lot of reading, but it really laid out the story of what was taking place there and what Peter was up to. And remember that when he got back to Jerusalem, now we'll talk about this later in the lesson, it's uncertain when these things happen, except that perhaps all this was taking place when Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem for a special council, because there was the Judaizers and such, where people who were already saved started going back to say, well, yeah, it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you got to be circumcised too. And they started adding the works to this. In Acts chapter 15, James, the pastor of the church, dealt with this situation, and they finally, of course, concluded, no, there's no works involved. It's by the grace of Jesus Christ and faith in him and that alone. And so they settled that matter. So when it talks about Peter going up to Jerusalem, it's quite possible that that was the instance when Paul and Barnabas were there as well, as may indicate this passage here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. But I certify, of course, Paul is writing this, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my... Oh, sorry, I'm not in chapter 2. I was reading chapter 1. Okay, chapter 2, verse 11. Here we go. But when Peter was come to Antioch, look what he says. I withstood, so he stood against him, to the face, because he was to be blamed. But before that certain came from James, and he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, the Jews, watch, he withdrew and separated himself. That's where the inconsistency was. Fearing them which were of the circumcision. So this was a fear-driven act because of the Jews. He withdrew from the Gentiles and kind of turned away from them. Verse 13, And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas, who's a somewhat of a pillar, also was carried away with their dissimulation. And then verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So he presented that argument to him, and that's that end of that story, at least for now. So let's get into our lesson here. So Peter's education, as we've been following his education as a disciple these many weeks, it really continued now, even after he is a full-blown apostle, we might say. He's already well into his ministry, but his education continues. Even as one of the leaders of the early church and a powerful preacher of God's word, as we can see in Acts chapter 2, he still was in need of learning and even, watch this word, even correction. As we see, the apostle Paul, he withstood Peter to the face and really corrected him, gave him some correction. And that's going to be interesting part of our lesson, as we'll see here in a few moments. But let's get into our first sentence as an introduction. Consistency, most would agree, is a trait that would greatly affect our testimony and our effectiveness for Christ. Now, on your sheet, I think I put an extra word by accident. You can just cross it out. I think there's an extra, the word most is seen twice. You should only see the first instance of it. So most would agree it's a trait that would greatly affect. Look, if we're not consistent, does that affect our testimony? Absolutely. We're going one way and suddenly we're changing direction. That's going to affect our testimony. Is it going to affect our effectiveness for Christ? Absolutely. Because, we're trying, we say we're doing one thing, then we switch gears, we're doing a different thing, and we cease to be effective for the Lord when we perhaps should be doing that first thing, and now we're not doing it. We cease to be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in this passage that we just read lastly, Galatians, we find Paul challenging Peter to, hey, let's be consistent here. You were ministering to Gentiles, and then the Jews showed up, and then all of a sudden you got fearful, and you were afraid to offend the Jews, and so you turned from the Gentiles and left them. And so he was challenging him on his consistency with fellow believers. God had made it clear to Peter in a vision that the gospel of Christ was not to be kept from anyone. He was now extending the gospel to Gentiles in addition to the Jews. But here we see that the peer pressure that Peter encountered caused him to withdraw from obedience, and it really threatened to bring harm to the cause of Christ. And so that's why Paul confronted him, took opportunity to correct him, if you will. So anyway, our first thing we're going to look at this morning is we'll see Peter being cooperative. Peter being cooperative. Now that's Acts chapter 10. If you're back there now, we're not going to read all of that again, but that's really all of what we saw. Acts chapter 10, the whole chapter, verses 1 through 48, we see Peter cooperating with what the Lord's doing. The Lord sent a vision to him, and it was this kind of a strange vision, the thing, beast, creatures ascending, descending, and saying to eat, and he said, oh, I can't eat it, it's unclean, and the Lord corrected him on that and said, don't call it unclean, what I've cleansed, and the real message to that was, look, you're going to take the message of Christ to the Gentiles. And I know that many consider them unclean, of course. That's where the clean, unclean thing came in. But he says, no, the gospel is going to the Gentiles. In fact, the gospel is going to everybody. There's no one that we should withhold it from. And so as we look at this incident in Peter's life, we see that initially he's doing exactly what the Lord wants him to do. One might say he was off to a good and obedient start. In fact, we also know how he finishes. We see him preaching a powerful message in Acts chapter 2. We see him penning the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. And so we could say he finished well. But, sometimes we have to consider in between the start and the finish, it's very important what takes place in between that start and finish too, right? It's not just how we start or just how we finish. We have to be consistent in between. And that's where the problem we find here. So it's very important to continue, if we can use that word, in place of consistency. We have to continue If we start well, we have to continue to the end. In fact, I want us to see a couple instances of continue here. Hold your place in Acts, but let's go to 2 Timothy. And let's turn quickly because we've got to keep this lesson moving. But 2 Timothy 3, I think you'll find that the word continue in this sense is mentioned quite often. We'll just look at a couple instances here. But 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, Paul said to Timothy, "But continue thou." Continue thou doing what or in what? He tells him, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And so his advice to him was, look, you have learned the scriptures, you have learned how to be a pastor, you've learned how to minister, you've learned of the things of God, you understand the scripture, what all these things you've learned, continue thou. Now, 1 Timothy, just turn back a few pages to chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 16. Again, very good instruction to this young preacher. He says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." What's that next word? "Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So he clearly instructs him, look, we need to continue continue in our walk, continue in our ministry, continue in the things that we've learned. Well, Peter had learned some very hard lessons during his years of training. As we've seen in previous lessons, he went through the school of hard knocks. But you know the cool thing about Peter is that he seemed to take on board the corrections, the reproofs of life. He seemed to not really get an attitude. He seemed to take it on board and learn from it. And of course, as we know from Scripture that, as I just mentioned, he's being used in Acts chapter 2. He penned two epistles. So we know how he ended. So he accepted the various rebukes and corrections as opportunities for education and growth. Can we stop the lesson right there and say amen to that? That's what we ought to do. And really, that's our lesson this morning, is that sometimes we are in need of correction. And it's easy, here it comes, to cop an attitude when someone corrects us to say, we say, well, who are you to tell me? I know what I'm doing, or, whatever the attitude is. We have to be careful of that, and that could have ruined Peter if he would have done that. That would have ended his ministry, perhaps. We have to take correction on board. If it's good correction from godly people, that will help us be better Christians, help us be a more effective in our ministry, help us to do better or walk closer to the Lord, then that's good correction. Amen? It's good correction. And we have to be humble to take it on board and say, you know what? That stung, because often it does. It stings. If for no other thing, if it doesn't sting just for the facts that they're telling us, it stings our pride, because we don't want to be told. But we have to take it on board and say, you know what? I'm going to learn from this, and I'm going to watch, grow from this. And praise the Lord, that's exactly what Peter did. All the times the Lord had to correct him, all those previous lessons we saw, and the things, when Peter said, who, me, walking with Jesus? I don't know what you're talking about. All that stuff, pulling the sword out, chopping that servant's ear off, and all that other things that Peter did that the Lord had to pull him up on. He learned from those things, and he grew. And we see him growing here. We'll see him grow through this even when Paul had to correct him face to face. That he grew through all these things and became the great preacher that he was, and the great ministry, and of course was martyred for his faith. So all that to get us here to letter A. Well, I'm talking a lot this morning. His evangelization to the Gentiles. His evangelization of the Gentiles. So he received this vision from the Lord, and it was a commission from the Spirit of God. He immediately followed these servants that came from the house of Cornelius. He went there, and he knew from this vision, now the gospel was for all. The gospel was for all, and he went there with this. He said this, we saw this, we won't go back to it, but Acts chapter 10, verse 34, he made this statement, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Do you know that's still true today? God is no respecter of persons. Preacher just hit on this recently in a message. But it doesn't matter the nationality, the ethnicity, the skin color, all the, you know, their economic status, doesn't matter. The gospel is, if they're breathing and they've got a pulse, the gospel's for them. Doesn't matter what they look like, how big or little they are, what color the skin is. They need the gospel. Hence, we're having a woohoo! We're having a missions conference soon. We got to reach that world. And in that world are all different colors, all different shapes, all different sizes, all kinds of economic standings. They need the gospel. They need the gospel. And so that's what Peter learned. He's learning, hey, the gospel is for everyone. Now, he did need a little attitude adjustment because he did say, but Lord, I've not really eaten the unclean things. You know, this is unclean. I can't do that. He said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten unclean. And the Lord corrected him. And he got through that, of course. But let's get this thing on your sheet here. As believers, this is a long one, but it's important. As believers, we must realize that God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. And that the person that we ought to witness to is, in fact, every lost person we encounter. God just wants us to sow the seed. The work of bringing one to repentance is the job of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that nice? You know, it's not on me to get that person converted. That's God's job, Holy Spirit's job. My job is to sow the seed, whether that's handing out a gospel tract or verbally telling them the gospel. And then the Lord takes it from there. And we don't have time to go to some verses about that, but I'll just reference it for you. It's 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9, when Paul said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? He said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So there you see these men sowing the seed. Paul said, I just sow the seed. Apollos, oh, he put the water. You know, he watered the seed. And that's what we can do as laborers in the harvest. But it's God who gives the increase. And just like it's God who causes a seed in the ground to sprout. Hello. Letter B, his explanation to the Jews. His explanation to the Jews. This is the second passage we saw in Acts chapter 11. That was the second portion we read. Acts chapter 11, 1 through 18. You know, it's amazing that anyone would be unhappy about people being saved, but we run into that. This just popped in my mind. It's funny. The preacher showed me something the other day. Someone, after we'd gone out on a Thursday night, passed out literature and tracts and what all that we do, someone took a full-size sheet of paper. On one side, they printed in huge letters, like 3-inch letters, Matthew 23. Then on the flip side, they typed, you know, they ran it through the computer and the printer and typed this. It said something like, I didn't ask for litter to be placed on my door. Please refrain from doing so in the future, signed a neighbor. And, you know, it's like, seriously? You know, if I found literature on my door, I'd say, oh, what's this? Oh, okay, cool. And if I didn't like it, I'd throw it away. It's no big deal. The humorous thing about it was, how are we going to know not to do it again? They didn't put an address on their door. So most likely they're going to get litter again on their door. So, amen. But so they were unhappy. They were unhappy. But people can be unhappy about others being saved, and that can be true today. But we see this reference here, they that are of the circumcision, the Jews, when they showed up, they were upset that Peter was eating with and being in the room with these Gentiles and sharing the gospel with them. And it reminds me of when they accused Jesus of eating with the sinners, you know, and so he had to deal with that. But Peter went on to describe how the Lord had made it clear to him that he was to share the good news of the gospel with everyone. And the result was that God was glorified. You remember that verse we read there in Acts chapter 11? I think it's in verse 18, 17 and 18. Look at it. For as much then as God gave them like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So it's a wonderful thing. Let's move on. Number two. Oh, got to get this point for you. Whenever God is working, there will always be those who criticize. Oh, yeah. If you're doing something for God, you'll be criticized. Just count on it. Or become contentious. All right, you got that? Let's go on. Number two, Peter being contrary. Now, this is the Galatians reference, Galatians 2, where we were. So far, so good. Peter had been used by God to bring salvation to the Gentiles. The other apostles and the Jewish believers had heard Peter's explanation that, hey, God, you know, God's no respecter of persons. He wanted me to do this and so forth. And they rejoiced, you know, in the grace of God. They glorified God. And then Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, we saw that when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul said, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. And as I mentioned earlier, we're not exactly sure when this falls into a timeline, but most likely it's when that council at Jerusalem was taking place. It's found in Acts 15. But it's evidently during the ministry of Paul and Barnabas, because they're mentioned here, and they're at Antioch, and so that's where Paul and Barnabas came from. And Peter went there to pay them a visit, and also those that were of the circumcision. Those others showed up as well. And Peter seemed to get timid all of a sudden. And he turned from the Gentiles, as we see here. We're going to see point 1A here in a minute. Regardless of critics and detractors, it is our duty to carry on and obey. So what I was just mentioning here is that he left the Gentiles alone. At this point, Peter makes a mistake, a big mistake. We know that he was doing what he was supposed to be doing, but now suddenly he turns from the Gentiles, as we read earlier. In this passage, we see Peter eating with the Gentiles, undoubtedly ministering to them. But after the Jews arrive, we see these five sad words. He withdrew and separated himself. That's in verse 12 of Galatians. He did not want these Jews to see him eating or ministering to the Gentiles. And so that scared him. Well, Satan showed up at that point. It is always Satan's goal to get the believer to step away from obedience and service. You can mark that down. It's always Satan's goal to get believers to stop doing. And that's exactly what happened to Peter. Why did he step away? Well, it was out of fear. The scripture there said that he was fearing them which were of the circumcision. And it was the same kind of denial that took place when those people said to Peter, hey, you know, your speech is giving you away. You're one of them. No, he said, no, not me. I don't know what you're talking about. No, you were with Jesus. No, not me. It was that same kind of fear and caused him to shy away. Turn with me to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and look at verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Was Peter fearing man? Sure he was. He sure was. But then it goes on to say, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. All right. So he turned from the Gentiles. He kind of left them alone. Next, he led the Jews astray. Now we see that in Galatians 2:13. But let's write this down straight away. One of the great lessons to be learned from the life of Peter is that people are not only watching us, but some will inevitably follow us. Well, we've said it before. Hey, someone's watching you. It might just be your kids, but I promise you, someone's watching. Watching how you do what you do, where you go, how you talk. Someone's always watching, especially if they know you're a believer. Then they're really watching. Watching how they might have therewith to accuse you. But they're watching, and sometimes they follow, which is not a good thing if you're doing the wrong thing. The text states that the Jews dissembled likewise with him. And the word dissembled basically means to act hypocritically. And so that was the inconsistency of Peter, was really hypocritically. And Paul took him up on that. But they all saw that. And so that was a bad thing. Peter believed one way, but acted another way. That's really what we call hypocrisy. He believed that in Christ, the Gentiles were of equal status with the Jews. But when the aggressive Judaizers showed up, Peter turned his back on the Gentile friends as though they were somehow inferior. And so that, and again, that's the inconsistency that we see here. Now, one of the saddest facts revealed in this passage is that a very good man by the name of Barnabas also became caught up in this dissimulation. And the Bible says that he also turned, you know, he also got involved. Let's look at that here. Galatians, I got to go back there and we'll read it. Galatians 2, verse 13. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, watch now, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And so so Barnabas, a good man, but he got caught up in this, you know, by watching by Peter. It is important for believers to realize that there are those who are coming after us that are watching, and in some cases, even following us. That's so important. This is why it is critical that we allow God to guide our steps. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." This passage shows us that good people often do the wrong thing because they are following other good people who are doing the wrong thing. And lastly, number three. Did you say wait? The two blanks on that last one are wrong. They're both wrong. Okay, number three, Peter being corrected. And that's really the passage in Galatians when Paul confronted him. First thing, obviously, then Paul's rebuke. So Paul withstands him to the face and really corrects him. The Bible has much to say about the matter of gossip and the improper use of the tongue. Things that Peter had said were, and I have several verses here that I wish I could show you, but we don't have time, on the tongue and gossip and so on. We've got to keep moving. The cause of Christ suffers when his followers speak unkindly to each other or of each other. John 13:35 says this, "By this all men shall know that ye are my disciples, if ye have," what's the next word? "Love one to another." There's also the principle of the golden rule. Luke 16:31 says, "And as ye would men that should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." And so, once more, Jesus had singled out Peter for correction, before, Jesus had singled Peter out for correction in front of the other apostles. Paul is doing the exact same thing right here, and he's using it as a teaching moment. Not only did he speak to Peter personally, but he spoke openly before the other believers that had gone astray with Peter, and so it was a real time of correction. Paul's rebuke to Peter was simply stated in verse 14, which we read, that Peter, if he was going to live like the Gentiles, Why was he trying to get the new Gentile believers to follow the Mosaic law? And hence, which is one of the reasons why Acts chapter 15 took place, that council. Peter needed to stick with the simple gospel of grace. And then Peter's response. Now, we really don't know Peter's initial response, but we have to assume that he did the right thing because of we can see in the scripture how he ministered afterwards. And again, I reference Acts chapter 2, preaching, and of course, the epistles that he wrote. All of these references next are in Proverbs, so let's go ahead and look at these ones because these are good. Proverbs, let's start out in Proverbs 1. We still have 3 minutes, we're okay. Proverbs 1. Because this really describes Peter. And it ought to describe us. Remember earlier I said sometimes we need to be corrected? We have to have the right attitude about that. And these verses cover that. Verse 5 of chapter 1. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And that would include correction. Chapter 9, please. Chapter 9, verse number 8. Reprove a scorner, lest he hate thee. But look, rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. And that's where we see Peter. He was rebuked by a wise man, none wiser than the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Paul. But he took that on board. He grew through that. Then chapter 12, verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. He that hateth reproof is brutish. So if you get a bad attitude when someone corrects you, you're brutish. And so those are great verses for us. A couple more. Chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. And so that's kind of a negative angle at it, but no, we need to take it on board and live, I guess you could say. And then chapter 15 again, but verse number 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. And so a scorner is one who doesn't want to hear the reproof. He doesn't want to hear that instruction. He doesn't want to have the correction. That's a scorner. And so those are great verses for us. Let me see. I'm going to have to skip some material here. Let's see. So Peter accepted all of the Lord's corrections and rebukes. He accepted Paul's. He grew. He learned and grew through all of that. And of course, we know that Peter served faithfully. He continued. He was consistent right up until his death when he was martyred. It would be a wonderful thing for believers today to show love toward others who correct them, knowing that corrections are intended for our good and our Christian growth. We should show love to those who correct. It's intended for our growth. And conclusion. Well, we still have 30 seconds. We did it. There will also be times when we need to be corrected. We need correction. And during these times, we ought to seek to heed that instruction and to allow it to get us back on the proper track. And that's exactly what Peter did. He received the correction, and it got him back on track. I think there's one more here. Yeah. Be thankful for the people and circumstances that God places in our lives to shape and grow us. So Peter had the Lord, Peter had the other apostles, Peter had Paul, who helped to shape him and grow him, and he had a great ministry. All right, well, that is the education of a disciple, the Apostle Peter. That's the end of that series. Next week we'll start a new series. I believe it's called Portraits of Grace. We're going to see the lives, almost like a biographical sketches of different folks in the Bible. So I'm looking forward to that one. We'll begin that next week. All right, let's take a break and we'll get ready for church.